This is Teresa Trent, and you are listening to Books to the Ceiling, a podcast that features excerpts from new mysteries coming on to the market. Well, this week we're headed to Washington on the trail of a computer whiz who might not be as smart as he thinks he is. T.J. O'Connor's latest novel starts his Papa Legacy series, so buckle up as we travel through the world of PIs and high-level politics. Here's a little more about the book. Curran's enemies thought he was dead. They were wrong. He thought his past was left on the Vula Beach Road. He was wrong. Now that nightmare is drawing his enemies out. The halls of power are being targeted. But by who? Is the secret of the Vula Beach Road behind the chaos? Curran knows the answer. It's all in the Whisper Legacy. Marlowe Lowe Curran was a freelance intelligence operative swashbuckling around the world, until Greece, until the Vula Beach Road. There, he lost everything and nearly his life. Now he's a luckless, aging PI living on guilt and nightmares, barely paying his rent if not for Tommy Astor, a well-connected Washington power broker. Curran becomes a suspect in the murder of a philandering husband. He has an alibi, but that will get him arrested. Is committing crimes trying to resolve other crimes still a crime? For Curran it is, especially after he's a suspect in two murders. Chasing the real killer, Curran is haunted by his demons from the Vula Beach Road and something called Whisper. On his trail is an angry, vengeful U.S. Deputy Marshal, gun-happy assassins, and a shadowy figure thwarting Curran's every success. For each step forward, there's another threat. Another roadblock, another piece of evidence stacking up against him. Whisper is at the center of his nightmares, whatever Whisper is. Is Whisper why Charlie Cantrell had to die? Why bodies are dropping across Washington? Why the president's short list for running mates is getting shorter? Faced with old foes and aided by his last surviving Vula Beach friend, Curran must stay ahead of the assassins, rescue a kidnapped little girl, and find the deadly secrets hidden within the Whisper Legacy. And now, here is an excerpt from The Whisper Legacy. Chapter 1. Marlowe Lowe Curran. Getting old is not for the meek. Especially when, in your youth, you were an adventurer and a risk-taker, a man of mystery and worldliness. You know, stuff that made your heart Roomba and your pulse sizzle. Having to perform menial, boring deeds in your later years is tough. Especially when you sit around with good bourbon and reminisce about the old days, you tend to drink too much and pine for those glory days and lost adventure. So much that it eats at you. Not that I've ever done that, mind you, just saying, you know, it happens to other people. For instance, if anyone had told me 20 years ago that one day I'd be standing outside an old two-story brick rambler in Leesburg, Virginia, at 10 in the evening, wearing old raggedy pajamas, an ill-fitting robe, and carrying a dog leash, absent the dog, I would have been offended. Such a scenario might have suggested I'd lost my faculties too early in life. Perhaps I'd gone crazy or become homeless. Of course, I've never seen a homeless person wearing pajamas and a robe at 10 in the evening, crazy or not. Still, you get my concern. I'm Curran. That's Curran, not Curran. It's Irish, not that it matters. But pronunciation is important. Don't get the wrong idea about me. I don't normally dress up in old PJs and walk neighborhoods with a dog leash. It just seemed like the thing to do tonight. I'm also not that damn old, either. At present, I'm pushing my early mid-50s and have a full head of dark reddish hair and almost always in need of a shave. It's not that I'm trying to be suave and cool. I'm sort of lazy about shaving. I've been told I look like the dashing Sean Bean. No, not Mr. Bean, Sean Bean. Anyway, that's me, and I'll explain more later. For now, my PJs were falling down and the ratty robe I had on wasn't fitting all too well either. My feet were sore from my ambling down a block of crumbling sidewalk in the middle of this beautiful August night. Of course, August in Virginia was hot, humid, and, well, hot. My ensemble was cooler than jeans and sneakers, but it did not include slippers. Barefoot was not accidental. It's for effect. See, I was going for that crazy old dude persona. Most concerning to me was my partner, or lack thereof. Actually, he was my longtime friend and co-conspirator in many such episodes of my life. He's missing. Stevie Keen should have been here an hour ago and running counter surveillance. He should have been watching my back and ensuring I wasn't walking into a gunfight or a pair of handcuffs. He wasn't. Stevie hadn't responded to my cell calls. He also wasn't in the van parked across the street from our target like he should be. That was bad. Real bad. I was going in blind. "Stevie, where in the flying monkeys are you?" I whispered to his voicemail again. "You're late. I can't wait any longer. If you get here while I'm inside, stay put and watch my escape route. And brother, you better have a good story, like being abducted by aliens." I peeked at the old Rambler's front windows and dangled the dog leash. I called out as loud as I could. "Rufus! Come on, boy! I got cookies!" No, I had no dog named Rufus. I also had no cookies. Try to keep up. The house windows were blacked out, odd even for this part of town. I knew someone was inside. First, a thin sliver of light escaped through a corner of the window. Second, the electric meter around the side was whirling away like a NASA satellite station. Third, and perhaps the most important, I'd seen the short, pudgy, receding hairline kid with his embarrassing attempt at a beard slip inside an hour or so ago. He looked like he'd glued stray hair here and there on his cheeks. His eyes were inset, or maybe his fat cheeks hid them. Billy Piper reminded me of that dumpy loser who tried to smuggle dinosaur eggs off the island in Jurassic Park. He'd gotten eaten in the first 30 minutes of the movie. Served him right, poor defenseless dinosaurs. "Rufus, I got cookies!" I banged loudly on the door and rattled the doorknob. "Don't hide on me, Rufus. Don't be a bad dog." If Piper was trying to be stealthy, he failed. I heard him approach the door inside before he peeled back the window covering and glared out. "What are you doing, old dude? Get lost." As I've already said, I'm not that old. But given I'd put on a shaggy gray wig and plastered fake beard crap on my face, I give it to him. A dog barked, then yelped as the face pushed closer into the window. "Shut up, mutt. What good are you? This old fart is almost in the house, and you just noticed?" Time to play the role. "You got my Rufus? Give me my dog." I banged on the door again. "Now, before I call the cops, dog napper." "It's my dog, old dude," Piper yelled. "Get off my property or I'll kick your ugly butt." I held up the leash and took a step back, turned in a circle to appear dazed. Then I began to cry.
"Oh."
It took nearly a full minute before Piper opened the door and stepped cautiously outside.
"What the hell is wrong with you, old dude? My dog isn't Rufus."
I turned to him, reached up to wipe my tearless eyes, and let my bright red identification bracelet show below my pajama sleeve.
"Where am I? Who's Rufus?"
I turned in a circle again and let a few more whimpers out.
"Who are you? What are you doing in my house?"
At first, Piper turned red-faced with anger. Then, when he saw my medical bracelet, he reached out and grabbed it. "Oh, you're one of those Alzheimer's people. Get the hell out of here. Understand? Go home. Shoo." Home indeed.
"This is my home. What are you doing here?"
Beside Piper, a brawny black lab trotted into the doorway and barked. Not a threatening bark, more like an obligatory woof. After two such woofs, he trotted up to me and sat wagging.
"Useless dog. What are you doing inside?"
He grabbed the dog by the collar and dragged him past me. He shook him several times, cursing. After berating him again with another smack to his hindquarters, he found a short chain affixed to a big walnut tree in the front yard and clipped it on his collar.
"Flippin' mutt. You're supposed to warn me before they get to the door." "Don't hurt my Rufus," I yelled.
The chain was twisted and wrapped around the tree. The lab only had about 2 feet of room to move. There was no water bowl and no signs of one anywhere.
The wear marks on the grass suggested the dog spent too much time chained to that tree. What an asshole.
What are you doing to my Rufus? I growled. Where's his food and water?
Screw the dog. Maybe now he'll bark when he's supposed to. Piper shoved me sideways and re-entered the house. Get the hell out of here or I'll call the cops.
Call? I didn't call you.
Jesus, I don't have time for this. He squared off on me in the doorway. Get lost, old dude.
What about my Rufus?
I shoved Piper back a step. That surprised him. I guess old men with Alzheimer's should be weak and defenseless.
Get out of my house!
Piper reared back to strike me and held his fist in a threat. I'm gonna put you straight. His smartwatch buzzed wildly and flashed like Dick Tracy was calling. If you don't get the shout out to Dick, forget it. You're way too young to understand. Go, damn it.
Not until I get my Rufus.
His watch signaled him again. Ah, shit.
No, no, no.
Piper shoved me sideways and I feigned a fall just inside the doorway. He kicked at me and barely connected as I parried with my arm.
Get out of here, old dude. Wander or dawdle your way back to where you came from. I got my own problems.
He shoved me out of the doorway, swung the door to shut it, and ran down the hallway. I, not being a confused old geezer, lodged my foot in the door before it closed. With no more than a sore big toe when it hit, I kept the door ajar. I followed his footfalls to the back of the house. I might be committing a few felonies soon, so I slipped on leather driving gloves to eliminate the chance of any fingerprints. After all, my felony count had just started and the night was young. I know cool TV stuff like that. At the end of the hall, I descended the stairs into a dark basement. There, a small room lay ahead, lighted by a single overhead light that bathed the room in a hazy illumination. There were only a few old boxes stacked around a bicycle hanging on a wall rack. Ahead was a heavy steel door, still ajar. A carnival of flickering lights escaped through the opening. Beyond, I heard Piper cursing and babbling in a panicked voice. I eased inside and found a larger section of the basement. The space was lined with soundproof tiles and heavy industrial carpeting. There was a refrigerator and a small stove on one side of the room, and cabinets of computers and electronics on the other. Between them was a command console and two gamers' chairs facing a wall of computer monitors and large video screens. The walls, not blocked by computer gadgets, were covered with movie and book posters of every major spy thriller I'd ever heard of. One was a poster of a pale-faced Alec Guinness wearing oversized dark-frame glasses, an aged, probably original collector's poster of John le Carré's Smiley People. Holy crap, Billy Piper was a wannabe spy. Shit, they caught me. Piper stood in front of a shelf of electronics and spun around when I stepped inside. What the hell, old dude? We had to talk about that old dude thing. I was getting there, but really, how rude. I told you what would happen if you didn't leave. Piper balled his fist and came toward me. It's gonna cost you. You should have left to find Rufus. Who the hell is Rufus? I asked. I don't know if it was my sudden, calm, steady voice or the silenced .22 pistol in my hand aimed at him that startled him the most. Either way, I had his attention.
Who are you, old dude?
He stared at the pistol.
You don't have Alzheimer's.
Nope.
Who then?
He took a step back as his face tightened and filled with so much anger his cheeks were ablaze.
Ah, shit. Are you with them?
Them? I waved my pistol back and forth to keep his attention.
Explain. Screw you.
He spun around as his computers began wailing some kind of an alarm.
Come on, man. I got bigger problems than anything you can bring. If you don't get out of here, those problems are going to be yours, too. Go find Rufus or whatever. Get out.
I aimed the pistol at his head.
I think not, Billy.
He spun back around at me.
You know me? Did they send you?
Oh, I know you. Boy, was he slow. I'm here about money and information. I have no idea who they are, although they might be like my clients. You hacked them and now they want their files and money returned. Right, Chip Magnet?
Oh man, you are them.
His face blanched and the tough guy drained away.
Dude, I got money I can pay. I pay you and you say I wasn't home. Deal?
Desperation replaced his bravado he taunted me with moments ago.
Chip Magnet. Are you for real? What a totally bullshit handle, Piper.
He shrugged.
It means...
I know what it means, idiot.
Look, Billy, you hacked the wrong people. My people. I'm here to fix things. And in the future, if you have one, you might want to take care of who you hack. Some folks out there don't go to the police. They don't hire lawyers or call the credit bureau.
Huh?
His eyes locked on my pistol as it raised to eye level.
What?
They send me. And that was an excerpt from The Whisper Legacy. The Whisper Legacy is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Bookshop, Goodreads, and BookBub. And I will be leaving links to those online retailers in the notes for this podcast. Now here's a little more about the author. T.J. O'Connor is an award-winning author of mysteries and thrillers. He's an international security consultant specializing in anti-terrorism, investigations, and threat analysis, life experiences that drive his novels. With his former life as a government agent and years as a consultant, he has lived and worked around the world in places like Greece, Turkey, Italy, Germany, the United Kingdom, and throughout the Americas, among others. In his spare time, he's a Harley-Davidson pilot, a man about dogs, and now cats, and a lover of adventure, cooking, and good spirits, both kinds. He was raised in New York's Hudson Valley and lives with his wife, Labs, and Maine Coon companions in Virginia, where they raised 5 children who supply a growing tribe of grands. You can catch up with TJ at his website, tjoconnor.com. That's all we have this week on Books to the Ceiling. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate, review, follow, or share with your friends who enjoy mysteries. Books to the Ceiling is a part of my author blog at teresatrent.blog, where you can find an archive of all of the podcasts. And don't forget to check out the giveaway page for your chance at gift cards and ebooks. Thank you so much for stopping by, and I hope to see you again next week with a new mystery on Books to the Ceiling.